I'm Julianda Lynn Hatton, and you're listening to Faith and Reason on the Mormon Faircast. This series will discuss the prophet Joseph Smith and the authenticity of the gospel he restored. I'll be speaking with Michael R. Ashe, author of the book of Faith and Reason, 80 Evidences Supporting the Prophet Joseph Smith. Welcome, Michael Ashe.
Julianne, it's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Based on your research, it could be said that Joseph Smith was predisposed to be a reformer.
Yeah, I think so. He comes from a long line of ancestors that were not real comfortable with the status quo, that thought outside the box and were looking for something more than what they were given.
Tell me a little bit about Lucy Smith's relatives.
Well, Lucy, both of the relatives, both on both sides, is interesting because several of them came across on the Mayflower, and on both sides we have ancestors that fought in the Revolutionary War. On Lucy's side, for instance, her father, Solomon Mack, he had served in the Revolutionary War himself. He helped make gunpowder for the troops, and he served in an artillery unit, so he volunteered for it and sought for freedom. And one of her ancestors goes back a little bit further, was a gentleman by the name of John Lathrop. And he was in England, and he was a minister of the church in England. And he had aligned himself, however, with an independent body and instead of the main church, because he didn't really approve of the church government. And he and his congregation would meet in secret until finally they were arrested, and they were all taken to jail. Eventually, the rest of his congregation was released, but they kept him in jail. In fact, he was there for 2 years before they finally let him come out long enough to visit with his wife, who was sick and was dying. He stayed with her until she passed away, and then they took him right back to jail. And, he pled with the bishop there of the church and said, I have kids. They're going to be orphans. Can you please let me go? And after enough pleading, that they finally did release him. And eventually he ended up sailing to the Americas and became a leader in church affairs. And what's interesting is that Lathrop was actually on the family tree of many famous people, not only Joseph Smith, but people like Harold B. Lee, Wilford Woodruff, Ulysses S. Grant, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Oliver Wendell Holmes, and Eli Whitney. So it's interesting how we see from his branch many important figures come from his line. And that's just on Lucy's side.
Tell me about Joseph Sr.'s ancestors.
He also had ancestors on that side that were independent thinkers. Joseph's great-grandfather, Samuel Smith, was on the state legislature in Massachusetts. In fact, he was the chairman of the Tea Committee, which is the committee that sustained the action for the Boston Tea Party. And then Joseph's grandfather, so that would have been Joseph Smith Sr.'s father, was Azel Smith, and he did not like organized religion. He was a believer in God, but he didn't care for the organized religions of his day. And he predicted that the day would come when God would raise up a member of his family to be a great benefit to mankind. In fact, when Joseph Smith later brought him a Book of Mormon, when Joseph Smith translated it, he brought a copy to his grandfather Azel, and Azel read it and believed it. He knew that it was true, and that he felt, I guess, that the prophecy of what was going to happen from his descendants had been fulfilled.
Let's talk about the historical circumstances of the prophet's birth.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that how much technology has changed, in our lifetimes compared to just, a few hundred years ago. When Joseph Smith was born, only 29 years had elapsed since the American Revolution had begun. And Thomas Jefferson, at Joseph's birth, was president, serving for a second term. The Bill of Rights had been in force for a mere 14 years, and George Washington had passed away just 6 years earlier. So we see a really close connection there, of these important figures from George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and so forth, and then Brigham Young, or Joseph Smith being born into that time frame. There were only 17 states at the time. The first steam vehicle on wheels had been attempted just a year earlier. And you know, when we try to picture what life was like back in those days, I don't think we realized that it would be another 68 years after Joseph Smith's birth before barbed wire was invented.
So this was a time of great political, social, and religious change.
There was a lot going on, especially in upstate New York, where Joseph Smith eventually moved to and, of course, was born in Vermont. But there were people that were seeking. I mean, you had the Puritans, of course, that came over, and you had people that were seeking for all of those changes. That's right, political as well as religious change. And that was in the climate that Joseph Smith was born and raised. You know, they, of course, had their difficulties as well. Just, you know, they didn't have the kind of programs that we have today to help some of them out. And when people were destitute, they were really destitute, and they relied so much on their farms. When Joseph was right around 10 or 11 years old, they had to move from Vermont to Palmyra, New York, because they had 3 years in a row crop failure. The first 2 years, it was really bad. And then Joseph Smith Sr. said, you know, we're going to try it one more time. And if it fails, then, you know, I'm going to take that as a sign that we need to move. He had heard that crops grew in abundance in New York, and the third year was worse than the previous 2 years before that. And so when that happened, they said we gotta move. And it was a tough time. If you read through Lucy Mack Smith's history of what was going on at this time, Joseph Sr. had to leave out on his own first and kind of make the way for them, and then Lucy followed with the kids later on. Very difficult times, but it was because of the crop failure that led Joseph to the area where he would receive the plates, where the golden plates were buried. And I always have to think to myself, you know, it's interesting how the Lord works, is that when difficult times come to us, we think, oh, you know, how can the Lord, you know, give us these trials? Where if it wasn't for the trials that Joseph Smith and his family had gone through, he wouldn't have been brought to where he needed to be to be instrumental in restoring the gospel.
Thank you, Michael Ash.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Faith and Reason on the Mormon Faircast. I'm your host, Julianne DeLynn Hatton, inviting you to keep the faith.
Michael R. Ash is the author of the book Shaken Faith Syndrome, Strengthening One's Testimony in the Face of Criticism and Doubt, as well as the book Of Faith and Reason, 80 Evidences Supporting the Prophet Joseph Smith. Faith and Reason is produced by Tom Hatton with music courtesy of Arthur Hatton. The opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of Fair Mormon or The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You can support this podcast by subscribing to it in iTunes and by rating it and writing a review. Questions or comments can be sent to podcast@fairmormon.org, or you may join the conversation at fairblog.org.